You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 6th of August 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week. Friday is here and we are almost into the weekend and you know what that means. That means we have with us today Grandpa Dan from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing, me old mucker? Sorry.
And see, I'm so unfamiliar with British terms that I don't know if I was just insulted or complimented. So I'm doing great. I'm thinking about how, you know, we've been told over the years, like if you don't have, you know, if you don't like being banned from social media, build your own social media. If you don't like being banned from PayPal, etc., build your own bank, I guess. And I'm thinking that I think this can be applied to what we're going to look at today. If you don't have white supremacist, racist haters, you just build your own. It's kind of in the same vein.
It really is, because we've got a bit of a detective story today. We've actually got two news stories here based around the same theme. After what looked like a Nazi symbol was found carved into the wall of a State Department elevator in Washington, Israel's ambassador to the US denounced anti-Semitism, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken called it abhorrent. Unfortunately, late yesterday, a swastika was found, carved in an elevator in our building right here at the State Department, Deputy Spokesperson Jelena Porter told reporters on Tuesday. This graffiti has been removed, and the incident will be investigated, she added. The crudely carved symbol was discovered inside Elevator 36 at the State Department headquarters in Foggy Bottom late on Monday, Axios reported on Tuesday, with an exclusive photo. The elevator is reportedly near the office of the US Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. I wonder who that could have been that did that. I mean, you've got to think about the security at this place. This is Foggy Bottom. This is the State Department headquarters. You are going to have superb security there. Nobody is going to be able to break in there and graffiti swastikas anywhere. That has to be an inside job, I think. And to think it's so close to the office of the Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. I mean, that is really scandalous, saying it really means that there are people within the government that are secret Nazis that were just wishing to offend the US Special Envoy. I think this is really scandalous, Grandpa. Who do you think it could have been?
I tell you, this is one hell of a caper. We need if Sherlock Holmes was around, we would have to call him in to solve this high level mystery. Of course, they're investigating it. That's reassuring. They're investigating it. I'm wondering if they're ever going to give us the results of the investigation. As you've pointed out, they've got intense security. There's cameras everywhere. I'm sure there's cameras in the elevators. So it shouldn't be real hard to track down where these hidden Nazis are, because the U.S. State Department is known as a hotbed of neo-Nazi white supremacist activity. And, you know, it's not really too surprising, I guess, that they were able to get right on by security, right through background checks, slip over there to the mysterious elevator number 36. I'm surprised they didn't scratch out on the numbers and turn the 36 into 88. They didn't think about it, I guess, and carve a swastika into the wall of the elevator here. I'm not even sure what the message is supposed to be here, except like what we're pointing out here, that what, there's Nazis at the State Department or something. What is even the narrative? I don't know. I don't even know what the narrative is, except apparently now we have a opportunity for the 6 millionth time to denounce anti-Semitism at now, I guess, at the State Department.
Well, the thing is that the swastika is not very well drawn either. I mean, it does look rather amateurish. And you think, I mean, an amateur swastika drawer managed to sneak his way into the State Department and put this on the elevator, and he managed to get right up close to the special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. I mean, that's really quite something for somebody unable to actually draw a swastika to be able to achieve that as well. Well, Blinken, who is Jewish, is currently on a trip to Kuwait and India. He sent an email to the State Department employees on Tuesday calling the hateful graffiti a painful reminder that anti-Semitism isn't a relic of the past. It's still a force in the world, including close to home, and it's abhorrent. It has no place in the United States, at the State Department, or anywhere else, and we must be relentless in standing up and rejecting it, Blinken wrote. We also know from our history and from the histories of other nations that anti-Semitism often goes hand in hand with racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, and other hatreds. None of these ideologies should have a home in our workplace or our nation, the secretary added. Gilad Erdan, the Israeli ambassador to the US and the UN, also commented on the discovery, calling the State Department swastika a serious incident of anti-Semitic vandalism, which once again shows that anti-Semitism does not distinguish between Jews in Israel and Jews in America, and harms not only Israel, but the entire world. You know, I think maybe they're overreacting a little bit to this. I mean, basically, it's just a little sort of carving in the wood, and they've actually got the Israeli ambassador there, and they're talking about this harms the entire world. I mean, it really is just a little bit of wood on an elevator that has been harmed here, and really the point of it seems to be that it's just given them an excuse to condemn anti-Semitism. I mean, what would be the point in doing that? Why would an anti-Semite just want to give the ambassador of Israel and Antony Blinken an excuse to condemn anti-Semitism? I mean, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like when you hear that anti-Semites have gone and sprayed swastikas on gravestones, or they've gone and done the same thing to a synagogue, and you think, well, what is the point of that? Why would somebody that is against Jews do something like that, which basically it just makes them look terrible, doesn't it? It just makes them look like vandals. I mean, it's almost as if that was the point of it. The point of it was to make people that are critical of Jews look like vandals, and to give the people in charge an excuse to condemn anti-Semitism. I mean, I think we might be getting close to making a prediction of who it might actually be that carved this swastika. What do you make of what's being said here, Grandpa?
I'm reminded of the case several years back where these synagogues, I think in New York, they were receiving all of these, you know, bomb threats and all of this. And then when they finally did an investigation, they found they were coming from a teenager, I think it was in Israel. I'm just putting two and two together. I think it is a little bit interesting that the ambassador is tying this line about this shows, does not distinguish Jews in Israel and Jews in America, and harms not only Israel, but the entire world. Now, how does this harm Israel? How does carving a crude swastika carving in the State Department elevator somehow harm Israel? And I think this is a very kind of ham-handed attempt to tie this to the BDS movement, which they're very, very concerned about. That also, as we've been told, is anti-Semitism. And I think it's interesting that you have the Secretary of State essentially saying that, yes, there's apparently a bunch of anti-Semites in the working in the State Department, but how does that even make any sense? As we've already pointed out, this is probably one of the more secure areas in the country. And you don't get in there just willy-nilly. You don't just get in there by happenstance and just let anybody walk in there. If you work there, they do, I'm sure, quite thorough background checks here. Are we allowed to apply common sense here, or are we not? Because if you apply any sort of common sense here, you don't have to go way out into conspiracy theory land. Common sense here tells you this is absolutely silly and stupid. In fact, you would think the Secretary of State and staff would look at this and be like, oh, man, come on now, and just kind of cover that up and go on. But now they're treating it. They're doing press releases denouncing anti-Semites in the State Department. It just turns into this huge, silly, convoluted narrative because it doesn't even make any sense. I don't think anybody reasonably thinks reasonably thinks that the State Department is infested with secret Nazi anti-Semites. But that's apparently the narrative that's being presented here. And of course, we know this goes hand in hand with they have to get all the isms in there with the racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, and other hatreds. How does that go hand in hand with anti-Semitism? Is saying that those things are tied to anti-Semitism, is that in and of itself not also anti-Semitism? Because is it somehow implying that the Jews have something to do with all of these things that maybe people don't like? I'm thinking maybe Blinken there accidentally stepped on an anti-Semitic trope or something. It's all so convoluted. It's hard to make any sense of because, well, the truth is staring us in the face. It's obvious what's going on here. And yet, once again, as is the case so often here in clown world, we're all supposed to shut up and pretend like this is real.
I remember those bomb threats. There were hundreds of bomb threats, weren't there? They made a massive fuss about these bomb threats, and then they discovered it was an autistic teenager in Israel. And they just went silent about it. But the interesting thing was the ADL continued to use all those bomb threats in their figures of anti-Semitic incidents that happened that year. So they bumped up the figures and said that there were all these incredibly violent anti-Semitic incidents, all these bomb threats, and neglected to say that, well, actually the bomb threats were own goals, basically. It was friendly fire from their own people. Well, according to Axios, the defaced elevator raises troubling questions about security at the State Department. All of the elevators inside the complex are inside the secure perimeter, covered by cameras, and have uniformed guards. There are fewer employees on the premises than usual, since many State Department staffers continue to work from home on account of the coronavirus pandemic. Any outside contractors allowed access are supposed to be vetted by the Diplomatic Security Service. All of this should make it easy to identify the culprit, although that has not happened yet. Earlier this month, State Department officials said that President Joe Biden intends to nominate a full-time ambassador to the post of anti-Semitism envoy, currently handled by Kara McDonald, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labour. Jewish groups have also lobbied the White House for a stronger response to anti-Semitic attacks in the US, which they tied to the recent violence in Israel and Gaza. Is that not anti-Semitic in itself, suggesting that anti-Semitic attacks are caused by violence in Israel and Gaza? Are they saying that the Israeli Jews are actually responsible themselves for this rise in anti-Semitic attacks? Surely not. And what can really be going on here if they have uniformed guards in every one of these elevators and somebody was still able to put this swastika up there? Doesn't that show that the uniformed guard thought that they didn't have to actually be in the elevator? Whoever it was that went into that elevator had a pass to go in there and they didn't need a guard. I mean, this is serious questions that need answering here. We still haven't been told who it was that actually did this. What are your final thoughts on this swastika here, Grandpa?
I think it's amazing. They're basically now saying their security is inept. They're saying all of these security and cops that they have that work there and provide security to the State Department are a bunch of idiots, because they're sitting here in the article and saying its place is covered with camera, uniformed guards, and yet apparently they still haven't been able to solve the caper, because if they had, they haven't told anybody yet. I think this last line really drills down on something that I kind of alluded to earlier. Which is where they say they lobbied the White House for a stronger response to anti-Semitic attacks in the U.S., which they tied to the recent violence in Israel and Gaza. Well, I'm not sure what attacks they're referring to. I really think this is pointing to the BDS movement and the fact that they're really upset over the BDS movement. They're trying to tie that, the BDS movement, into just the general blanket of anti-Semitism. Because if you don't believe, you know, that people can boycott and do business with whoever they want to, then and those entities they want to boycott and not do business with happen to be in Israel, that too isn't apparently now going to fall under the blanket of anti-Semitism. And thankfully, the Joe Biden administration, because Joe Biden's probably in the corner playing with crayons somewhere, is they're going to nominate a full-time ambassador for the post of anti-Semitism envoy. Now, you think of an ambassador like you have an ambassador to China. Well, what does that person do? Well, they go and they stay at the embassy in China, and they represent the U.S. So if the Chinese need to, you know, talk to the U.S. about something right away in person, they go there and they talk to the ambassador. So where is the ambassador for anti-Semitism? Where are they going to be posted? Is there a anti-Semitism embassy somewhere? Somewhere. Where are they even going to be posted at? Where apparently they need to be posted at the State Department, because according to this story, that's where all the anti-Semites are.
Well, who is going to go and see this ambassador? I mean, you go and see an ambassador if you get into trouble in a country. Is there a country of anti-Semitism and people will need to see this ambassador to get themselves home again? I mean, it's a mystery. It really is a mystery. And this news story happened a couple of weeks ago and they still haven't found the culprit. But we do have a news story from about a month back that might give us a clue as to who the culprit might be. A black student at Albion College has been temporarily suspended for writing racist and anti-Semitic graffiti on a dormitory wall back in April. After the culprit admitted his responsibility for the hoax, the school said, "We will heal together." Campus authorities at Missouri's Albion College had discovered that a 21-year-old black student was responsible for the racist and anti-Semitic graffiti found in a stairwell of the school's Mitchell Towers dormitory in the first week of April. The material included racist epithets and multiple references to the Ku Klux Klan, according to university officials and photos shared on social media. And that always seems to be the one, isn't it? They always like to put the Ku Klux Klan there, or they like to put up these badly drawn swastikas, because in their minds, nationalists or race realists, they're all supporters of the Ku Klux Klan. They're all Nazis. They're all white supremacists. So they like to project this idea of what we are like, and they like to project this idea that we go around places graffitiing things like threats against black people and the Ku Klux Klan. And what it really shows is that whoever it is that is doing this has never, can't have actually received any of the so-called racism that he claims that he gets, because when he tries to actually show this sorts of racism, it's not something that ever happens. I mean, I don't think anybody is in the Ku Klux Klan anymore. I mean, they haven't even really been an organization since, what, David Duke revived them in the 70s, I think, and then he left the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, they were big in, I don't know, 1910 to 1930s, something like that. There was quite a sizable Ku Klux Klan, but today, I mean, I doubt whether, you know, they actually number more than a few hundred people, and probably at least 50% of them are state assets anyway. But more concerning about this was the N-word was used. There was a reference to killing N-words. I mean, really, they're not really going after this guy, because it does actually serve a purpose of smearing nationalists, doesn't it? It says anybody that is concerned about white people, this is the way they think. They use racial slurs. They support the Ku Klux Klan, and they support abusing students of color by putting graffiti like this up in the stairwell of the school at the university. So, but this is an incident of something that happens again and again and again. We hear about these hate crimes, horrible hate crimes like this, and then we find out that in actual fact the people that carried it out were the people that was the supposed victims, and then they just end up getting let off, basically. We don't ever hear any more about it, whereas if they manage to find a white person that carried out something like this, then they're likely to get a prison sentence. We had a white guy, and I think he burned a rainbow flag, and he got something like 6 or 7 years for it. There was somebody white who ended up breaking the windows of a mosque, and he got 6 or 7 years for it. These are both instances that happened in America, not over in Europe. And yet, when somebody does something like this and calls for N-words to be killed, but because the guy that actually did it was black, he will probably just get let off, I think. What are your thoughts on this, Grandpa?
Well, he can just say he was just writing his favorite rap lyrics. I mean, he's just so seriously, we're told all of this hatred and this and that. And yet pretty much virtually every rap song is that, you know, it's about I'm going to kill these inners or whatever. You know, I mean, that's every rap song is about killing other blacks, but that's okay. That's not racist. You always know it's a fake deal when they throw in the Ku Klux Klan, because it's not, everybody knows that's not even a real thing. Like if you have like five supposed Klan members together, the joke is four of them are feds and the other guy just got lost and wandered in there, and the four are trying to figure out a way to trap the one idiot so they can press charges on him. That's always a dead giveaway because it's not even a thing. It's not even a real thing. Nobody even takes that seriously. So when you throw that in there, you know it's pretty much a fake. But how do we see the university's reaction to this? We'll all heal. We'll heal together. Heal from what? Together. Like there's a group responsibility for this. Like, oh, well, we just need to heal from this. It's just some sort of like, oh, something bad. We just need to heal. Now, let's say this was done by a white frat boy without any kind of racist, malicious intent. They just got drunk at a party and thought it would be funny to, say, spray paint their favorite rap lyrics on the wall. I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that the university's reaction wouldn't be, we'll all heal together. You've got this narrative they presented, all of these evil, racist white people hiding behind rocks, scribbling swastikas. I keep thinking of that incident with the poop swastika, you know, the poop swastikas. They're smearing poop, making swastikas, writing rap lyrics on the wall. And when, of course, it shows out to be all fake, they just double down and act like, well, the problem's still there. You see, this black person got found out for writing racist graffiti and all of this, but yet the problem still remains. Still, the problem is white people are being racist. We just can't find them, so we're having to make them ourselves. I can't help but think there's a level of frustration at work here. It's like these people are waiting around for white people to do some sort of outrageous hatred thing, and they can't find it. So they just have to finally get tired of waiting. If you want something done, you just got to go do it yourself. And so somebody's got to take the lead. And this person, who miraculously, by the way, hasn't been named. We don't know who this guy's name is. Isn't that nice? This person tried to smear everybody, tried to stir up a racial incident here. But we're not even going to know what his name is, because that, I guess that too would be some sort of racism. So they got to go out. They got tired of waiting, had to take the initiative, had to go create some racist hatred themselves.
Well, this is always what they do, isn't it? They always end up saying, well, at least it highlighted this problem and we'll all heal together. And you know, they can't find somebody to actually do this. So as you point out there, Grandpa, they do it themselves and then they use this excuse. Well, it highlights a problem. It highlights a problem that's there. Is it really there? I mean, is there really white people that are going out writing things like this on the walls? I can't recall any instances where it's actually been white people that have done anything like this, that have graffitied property. Because you're actually talking about vandalizing the property here as well. I mean, how is that going to benefit anybody white who is advocating for whites to go out and vandalize property? It isn't. It just doesn't happen. When the college discovered who had defaced its walls, the suspect was taken in for questioning, where he admitted to creating most of the graffiti. A claim that fit with surveillance camera evidence, said Campus Safety Department Chief Scott Kipp. In the end, the college had to announce the culprit apparently acted alone. The incident was largely filed away without further mention after the unnamed individual's release on Tuesday. The black student was placed on temporary suspension, pending an investigation, even while the college still appeared to be blaming his transgressions on the community. Local media continued pointing out that there had been at least three other incidents in recent weeks of racial and derogatory graffiti, including drawings of swastikas. However, no images of those were published. We will change and heal together as a community because we are committed to doing the work, the school cryptically tweeted after the culprit had been identified, blaming not one particular person or one particular incident. Instead, it was a significant history of racial pain and trauma on campus that had caused the self-confessed hate hoaxer to go astray. And this is, again, is another way that Another thing that gets repeated with these is they will continue to promote the hate hoax even after the hoaxer has been identified. The same as I pointed out earlier with the ADL that continue to use these bomb threat hoaxes that were sent in by an autistic Israeli teenager, and they still have them on their list of anti-Semitic attacks that happened in America that year. And this news story here will also get used in the statistics to show that the increase in hate crimes. They will conveniently forget that in actual fact it was a hoax and it was a black guy that was actually doing it to himself, because it still serves to bump up the figures. And of course, he's only been given a temporary suspension from college. He'll be back there at college and he'll be deferred to as if he was some kind of hero, because he must have endured a significant history of racial pain and trauma to be so messed up that he felt that he should be graffitiing anti-black graffiti at this college here. What do you make of the way the college has dealt with this, Grandpa?
I wish I could say I was surprised. Obviously, I'm not. What are they changing exactly? They say they're going to continue to change, work on change and healing together. Changing what? I mean, they know this was a black student that spray painted his favorite rap lyrics on the wall. They framed this up as an evil racist hate incident. Then that got shown to be totally fraudulent, because apparently he didn't notice there were security cameras there. Or maybe he thought, you know, he was at the State Department where the security cameras just mysteriously aren't going to pick him up. I don't even know. But instead of saying, well, this person did this and could have really aggravated a situation, if they're really concerned about racial tensions and hostility between the races, they would be fairly heavy-handed with this, because that just aggravates the situation. Instead, they start making excuses for him. Well, he has a significant history of, there's a significant history of racial pain and trauma on campus. And once again, we don't have real journalism. And that always stands out in these stories we go through, because they blurt this stuff out. And if you had a real journalist doing the story, they would ask them, okay, well, we need you to name some of this history of racial pain and trauma on campus that might have made this person do that, because that would be like a key element. The why part of the news story is supposed to get all of, you know, the W's, what, who, when, why, you know, but we're not going to get, they're allowed to puke out this vague wording about a significant history. Well, if it's significant, everybody should know about it. So go ahead and tell us some of the incidents. I'm willing to bet they couldn't. But of course, I don't have to worry about that, because the media will never ask them. It's amazing to see them making excuses for this person. And, you know, again, if you had, say if this was done by a white student who was aggravated because, say, they had been assaulted by a group of blacks and they went and spray painted their favorite rap lyrics on the wall. Yeah, I'm going to say, well, he, you know, the reaction wouldn't be, well, you know, he was the victim of racial pain and trauma by being attacked by a group of blacks. And so we kind of have to look at the extenuating. No, they would have hung this guy by his toenails, because. But again, they didn't get that. So they had to just make it up, and they carry on. They just continue to carry on like, well, yeah, it got proven to be a hoax, but that doesn't matter. We're going to continue to pretend that it's real. It's all very telling, and it doesn't say much for academic honesty, does it?
It certainly doesn't. Well, despite the revelation that the graffiti was fake, a mass of students nevertheless took to the streets that weekend, saying that they didn't feel safe on campus over recent racial incidents. According to conservative journalist Andy Ngo, the Albion student in question had also called for a White Lives Matter rally to kill all the N-words on this campus. The individual at Albion is facing the student judicial process, after which the findings will be turned over to the Calhoun County Prosecutor's Office, the school revealed. While no motivation has yet been named, the campus did announce a $1,000 reward for information on who was behind the three acts of racist graffiti in the past. So perhaps he's actually been rewarded with the $1,000 for admitting it was him that did it. Students also threatened to file a civil rights discriminatory lawsuit, having been inspired by the helping hand of some Albion College Board of Trustees members. And remember, this is all after they found out that it was actually a black guy that was doing this. It was a hoax. Several comments on social media referred to the college population's grand duping as a Smolletting, after Jussie Smollett, the actor who claimed in January 2019 that he was nearly lynched by two white men who poured bleach on him and yelled racial slurs. And if you remember, he was found guilty of that, but they just dropped the charges, basically. This bit here about him calling for a White Lives Matter rally, that reminds me of the White Lives Matter rally hoax that was actually set up by Antifa and the CIA, and there was nobody there. Nobody actually turned up to it apart from one white guy who was fairly obviously a CIA operative. Once again, we see that these are just hoaxes that are carried out by these people to try and smear white people that are interested in looking up for the interests for whites. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Who are they going to file the civil rights lawsuit against? I mean, I guess against the college. I don't even know where they're going with this. What are they even accusing the college of? Promoting hoaxes or something? You see, once again, they just, like you said, they point. This is after it was proven to be a complete hoax, but they're going to move forward, carry on protests about all of this. They don't feel safe. They don't feel safe from what? Black spray painting their favorite rap lyrics on the wall and doing poop swastikas. What exactly are they not feeling safe about? Again, nobody is being asking for specifics here. We don't get any specifics here. And now they're talking about a civil rights discriminatory lawsuit. Yeah, because somehow the helping hand of some Albion College Board of Trustees members. What is the conspiracy that is happening here? This is all gibberish. It doesn't even make any sense. It's already been revealed to be a hoax, but they're saying, well, they're going to file a lawsuit being inspired by the helping hand of some Albion College Board trustees members. I guess they're saying the trustee members are going to help them file a suit because a black guy did racist graffiti. I don't even know. I'm sorry if this sounds incoherent on my part, because this whole story is incoherent. None of it makes any sense. And apparently now we live in this day and age where it doesn't matter how big of a hoax it is. We just carry on and act like it's real. It doesn't matter if the truth is found out. It doesn't matter if the truth is put out there. We just carry on and act like it's real, even though we all know it's not.
You know, I wonder whether there'll be an anti-Semitism march held at the State Department for the swastika, like there was a demonstration against this that took place after this incident in question. Well, I'm sure that won't be the last hate crime hoax that we cover here at the Daily Nationalist, but it is our final one for today. So thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.